This week's parsha is Parshas Vayetze. In Perek Chav Ches, Pasuk Yud Beis, the Pasuk describes the incredible dream that Yaakov Avinu had. When Yaakov Avinu was on his way to the house of Lavan, being sent there by his parents, his mother wanted him to get away from Esav, his father wanted him to find the Shidduch. So basically he was on his way to Haran, and all of a sudden the sun sets very quickly, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes him fall asleep. It happens to be on Har Maria, and he has this incredible dream of a ladder that's Mutzav Arza. It's perched on the ground. It's firmly set on the ground. V'roishay Magi HaShamayma. And the top of the ladder scrapes the heavens. It basically goes from the earth all the way up to the heavens. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is standing on top of the ladder and on top of Yaakov Avinu and basically making a promise to him that he will get Eretz Yisrael, him and his children, and they'll be a great nation. If you look in the Balaturim, the Balaturim says a lot of very interesting things in general in this week's parasha, but specifically about this ladder. There's a lot of Kabbalistic remazim about this ladder and about all the things that are spoken about in this dream. We're not going to go into any of them, really, but it's very worthwhile to look at them. If you have a chance, look at the Balaturim and look at the Medrashim on all of the symbolisms of this ladder. But there is one thing that I do want to share with you in the Balaturim, and he writes, Remez l'mishem mushlach la'aretz l'fisha'a yale hashamayma. It's a remez, says the Balaturim, these words, Mutzav Artsav Aroshe Magi HaShamayma, that the ladder is on the ground and its head is in the sky, that's a remez. Mutzav Artsav means if a person finds himself on the ground, Mushlach Laretz, he's thrown to the ground, he's cast to the ground, Lefi Shah, he's very lowly right now, he's in a very bad place. Lefi Shah, Yala HaShamayma. He will quickly be able to turn everything around and ascend to heaven, which means that a Jew is resilient. A Jew has the ability that even if he falls down, he's able to get up. Not only is he able to get up, he's able to get up. He's Mutzav Arza right now. Right now he's Mutzav Arza, he's on the ground, but he is going to be able to be Magi HaShamayma. He'll be able to get up and go eventually, make it all the way up to heaven, all the way up to ascend to great heights, despite the fact that right now he's on the ropes, right now he's on the ground, and he's not in a good position. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that you're Mutzav Arza now, but V'roishay Magi HaShamayma. And I was thinking about this remez, like, who exactly is helping this person? This person that's on the ground, and that the Targum, that the Balaturim says he's going to get back up and he's going to go and rise to the heavens. How is that going to happen? Does it say how it's going to happen? So if you plug this remez into the pasuk, it seems V'roishe Magi HaShamayma, V'hine Malachei Elikim Eilam V'yardim Bay. There is Malachim that are ascending and descending on this ladder. But perhaps if we could extend the words of the Balaturim, this concept of the Balaturim, there are Malachim in life that help a person be Eile. They lift a person up, but Eilam v'yardim bay, and they also sometimes go, and they'll go down, and they'll pick up a person that's fallen, and help him back up again. There's malachim that are eilam. There are malachim that raise a person, and that make a person grow in life. But then there's also malachim that are yardim, that sometimes when a person falls down, they go down with him, and they're able to give him the encouragement to be able to pick him up. That's a malach that's a wonderful malach. That's a malach that's really able to be there for a person in his time of need, as an emissary of Hashem, to be able to help a person, not just when things are going good, but even when things are going not so good, when we're down on life, when things are problematic for us and we're finding ourselves scraping bottom. That's also malachim are yardim by. Sometimes malachim go, they descend to the lowest places just in order to help pick a person up. Now, if what I just said is true, I think we could apply a very magnificent Gemara to this. There's a Gemara that says in Chagiga Adav Tezav Amabez, Mai Dechsiv, what does the Pasuk mean in Malachi that says, Ki Sifse Kayen Yishmeru Das, the lips of a Kayen will guard wisdom, the Tari of Akshami Piu, and you should seek Torah from this Malach, from this Kayen's mouth. Ki Malach Hashem Tzavakesu, because this Kayen is no other than a Malach Hashem Tzavakes. He's an angel of Hashem. And the Gemara says, you know what that means, that Pasuk? Im Daime HaRav LeMalach Hashem Tzavakes, if the Rebbe, if the Rav appears to a person like a Malach Hashem Tzavakes, like an angel, Yivakshu Tairo Mipiu. That's a Rebbe that you should seek out Tairo from. If you look at your Rebbe and he looks to you like an angel, he resembles an angel, that's a Rebbe that you should seek out Tairo from. V'im Lav, and if he doesn't seem like an angel to you, Al Yivakshu Tairo Mipiu, then you should not seek out Tairo from him. That's how we dash this pasuk. Ki sifsei kain. A kain isn't just a kain. A kain means like a rav, a rebbe, any spiritual leader, which is really what a kain is. Ki sifsei kain. The lips of a kain, you speaks and guards and protects wisdom. Tyra, you should seek from him because the malach Hashem. This kain is not just a human, a regular mortal. This Kayin is a Malach Hashem Tzavakes. And the Gemara darshins, if the Rebbe looks to you like a Malach Hashem Tzavakes, then you should seek out her. If not, don't. And the Mefarshim ask, what does this mean that a Rebbe is Daimel a Malach Hashem Tzavakes? What does it mean that a Rebbe looks like a Malach Hashem Tzavakes? He appears like a Malach Hashem Tzavakes. Does that mean that he has to have wings? Does that mean that he has to have a halo over his head? What does that mean? What type of malach are we talking about? What exactly is the malach that is the model for a Rebbe? And there's a few terutzim that I've seen over the years. I'll give you a few of them. One is there's a famous medrash that says that on every blade of grass, there's a malach that's memunah on it. Every single blade in the grass. There must be trillions of blades of grass throughout the world. And on every blade of grass, there's its own malach, an angel. And the angel stands over the blade of grass and says, Gadel, grow. He basically eggs on and prods every blade of grass to grow. So I've heard that that's the type of malach that a Rebbe is supposed to be. He's supposed to always be telling a Talmud, Gadel, you could grow, you could be great, aspire to greatness. That's one teretz. And I've seen other terutzim. I think Rav Ruderman used to say that there's another type of malach, and that's the malach by Yeshua, when Yeshua was fighting a battle and he was busy all day with war, and at night a malach comes to him, v'charbe shlufai, he had a sword outstretched, and the malach says to Yeshua, did you learn? And he said, well, I'm busy with war. He says, but at night you have to learn. He says, you have to learn. He says, that's the type of Rebbe That's the type of malach that a Rebbe is supposed to be. A type of Rebbe that always tells us, Talmidim, learn. You have to learn more and more and more. You can't just rest on your laurels just because when you were a bacher you learned, or because once in a while you learned. You have to learn as much as possible. That's the type of Rebbe that's the type of malach that a Rebbe needs to be. Always reminding a Talmud that you have to learn. There are other terutzim, but I think that in the context of what we're saying, maybe we have another new mahalach in what this Gemara means. You know what type of malach a Rebbe is supposed to resemble? A Rebbe is supposed to resemble the malachim that we're talking about in our pasuk. V'nei malach elikim oylem v'yardim bay. They're malachim that go up and that help a person when they steig, a bacher that's steiging, a talmud that's steiging, somebody that you, a rabbi, a rav, a rebbe, that, you know, sees people that are doing well, and they're learning, and they're growing, and they're giving tzedakah, so he's helping them grow. That's wonderful. But there's also the other element, v'yardimbay, that when you see a talmud that's floundering, when you see a talmud or a congregant or a that's hitting rock bottom for some reason, they're not doing well spiritual, maybe they're not doing well monetarily, they're not doing well socially, they're not doing well medically, whatever the experience is, that there's something that went wrong, something that is the bottom has been taken out of the Talmud, and now the Talmud finds himself in the lowest depths, in the abyss, and in the mud. As the Baal Turim says, Mutzav Arza, that he's Mushloch Laretz, he's in the ground. The Talmud is in the ground. The Talmud is not doing well right now. He's not steigen. Talmidim don't always steig. Sometimes they're taking the upward escalator, and sometimes they're on a downward escalator, and they're going down. Lefi Shah, Yala Shamayma. Then you should know that he could go back up again. It's possible for this to be turned around and for there to be a resuscitation of this person, that he goes, but how is that going to happen? Because the malach will go be yared, he'll come down and pick up the person and raise him up again. That's the Rebbe that we should be looking for. That's the Rebbe that's daimed to a malach Hashem Tzavakis. What type of malach is a Rebbe supposed to look like and a Talmud supposed to seek out? A Rebbe that's like the malach in this pasuk. That when a Talmud's mushlach laretz, yala shamayma, bring him back up. Make him steig again. Make him repair him, renew him, regenerate him. That's the type of Rebbe that everybody really needs. Just as an example of this, there's a Gemara in Makkos on Daf Yud Amud Aleph. The Gemara says that Talmud shegala li'ir miklat. If a Talmud, let's say, kills somebody b'shegeg, he kills somebody unintentionally, and the halacha is that if you do that, you have to go into galus. You have to go into one of the arei miklat, one of the cities of refuge. So the halacha is, let's say a Talmud kills somebody b'shegeg, and the Talmud is sent to those special cities, those special arei miklat. Maglin Rabbi Imai, his Rebbe, has to go into galus along with him. Can you imagine? A single Talmud kills somebody by accident. He goes into galus, and he has to stay there until the Kayin Gadol dies. Could be a few months, it could be a few years, it could be a few decades. A Rebbe could be like a Rosh Yeshiva somewhere in Yerushalayim in a nice community, a big yeshiva. Maglin Rabbi Imai. We make the Rebbe go into exile, go into this Arei Miklat together with his Talmud. That's a Rebbe. That's a Rebbe that's like this Malach. That it's not just when things are good, and when the Talmud star is really rising, but even when it's dropping, even when it's completely on the ground, and the Talmud is not doing well, the Talmud is sinking, a Rebbe has to go and biyardim. He has to go down and try to pick him up and give him chizuk and give him idud and give him encouragement until he's able to improve his situation and get back on firm footing. When I think of this type of Rebbe, there are many, many examples, but I think in particular of Reb David Trenk. Reb David Trenk was a master Rebbe and a principal and a counselor for more than 50 years. He used to be I had him one summer when I was in Camp Monk. He was my Rebbe, and he was like on fire. He was a Rebbe that was constantly jumping on desks and screaming and with a geschmack and making learning really fun. And he was, in general, he was a very, you know, larger-than-life figure. He was very big physically. He was probably, I don't know, 6'7", maybe. He was a huge man, but he was a very, very interesting person. They put out an article put out a biography about him called Just Love Them. And it's about his philosophy, his biography, his story, but also his philosophy about chinuch. And his philosophy on chinuch was that you have to love your Talmud no matter what. He was a Rebbe to, in Camp Monk, to, you know, regular fine from Camp Monk boys. But throughout the year, he was a Rebbe in a yeshiva called Adelphia. And a lot of the Bachrim in Adelphia were, you know, not the Aleph students that, you know, Philadelphia had and Long Beach had and Scranton had and other yeshivas. But, you know, they were boys that had challenges, many of them. And they needed a little extra help. And they were given this by many of the great Rabbeim there, but perhaps most memorably by Reb David Trenk. And he was busy dealing with, and then later in life he started his own yeshiva. One Friday night, he was told that one of his students had just stolen a car and gone to the movies. Okay, so it would be bad enough if he would go to the movies on Shabbos, but he also stole a car to get to the movies. Anyway, somebody came to Reb David Trenk and told him about it. Rabbi Trenk verified it, and he decided to go to the movie theater, which was more than an hour's walk from his yeshiva. I think, I don't know if any other Rebbe in the world would do this. I think, you know, okay, we'll deal with it after Shabbos. Reb David Trenk picked himself up and walked an hour to get to this movie theater. And he went into the movie theater. He asked the cashier if he could enter for just a few moments to speak to a student who was inside. The student told this person that writes the story that he was watching the movie when suddenly he noticed someone sitting down next to him. Though it was dark, he saw immediately that it was his Rebbe. Utterly stunned, he whispered hoarsely, "Rebbe, what are you doing here?" "I had to tell you something," Rabbi Trenk said. "But how did you get here?" the student asked incredulously. "I walked," came the smiling reply. "But it's more than an hour's walk," the student exclaimed. "Yes, I know that," said Rabbi Trenk. "But what I have to tell you is important." Now, what do you think he would tell him in the movie theater? I would say, "You're a Mechal Shabbos b'Farhesia, you're a Ganev, you did like all the Ten Commandments, you violated." This is what Rabbi Trenk told him. The student said to the person that wrote the story that he was bracing himself for an angry diatribe. But instead, Rabbi Trenk said, "I want to tell you that the popcorn that they sell here is treif, so please don't buy it. Because if someone eats treif food, it could be harmful to his neshama." "That's it?" asked the amazed student. "I would say that all the food here is treif, so don't eat any of it," said Rabbi Trenk. He stood and said, "I'll see you back in the yeshiva." The student took his Rebbe's hand and said, "Wait, don't go, I'm coming with you." And together they left the theater and walked more than an hour back to the yeshiva. The student told this person writing the story that although they conversed most of the way, not once did Rabbi Trenk mention the car or the theater. When they reached the yeshiva, the 16-year-old boy said, "I swear I will never be Mechalel Shabbos again." And he never was. And today he is an upstanding Jew who helps multitudes, all because of the wisdom of his Rebbe, who got the message across with dignity, validation, and wisdom. That's one story about Rabbi Trenk. And I think that's the type of malach that a Rebbe should be. The type of malach that we find in this week's parsha. The malach that is, when he sees a Talmud that's mutzav arza, he goes and he's not only helping the Talmud when he's on the upswing, when he's eilim, but yardim bay. He goes down and he descends to the place where the Talmud is, not where he is. A lot of Rebbeim, they don't want to, you know, sully themselves and try and get themselves dirty. They want the Aleph Talmidim. They want the students that are growing. The ones that aren't growing, they don't want anything to do with. But then there are those rare Rebbeim that love the Aleph students, but they also love the Dalet students and the Hay students and the students that, you know, that nobody else bothers with and nobody else cares for. It's those Rebbeim that are Olam, but Yardim, by they come down and they save the Talmud. They, even though the Talmud is Mutzav Arza, but that's only temporarily. And Roshem Agiyash Amayma, he helps them get back up and resuscitates them and breathes life into them. I'll tell you another Rabbi Trenk story that just shows how much he loved his Talmidim. There was a Lakewood resident that was taking a bus to Brooklyn, and he happened to sit behind two Adelphia Bachrim. And he overheard their conversation and immediately hurried to call Rabbi Trenk and share the information. "It sounds like they have a small television hidden in the dormitory," he said. You know, I was just telling Talmidim downstairs by the vow that I gave that in the olden days, like, television was like a big thing. You know, I remember like when you go on a shidduch date, it was like, do they want a TV or do they not want it? Does he want a TV? Does she want a TV? Bang. I said, like, today nobody talks about, not that I've never been involved in a shidduch recently, that's the hot button issue with television, because television isn't really a thing anymore for the most part. Now you don't need a television, you just have a smartphone, you have a laptop, and it has all of YouTube, and it has news and podcasts, whatever you need, it's on there. So television is not a thing. But back in the day, television was the big Yetzihara. So this guy called Rabbi Trenk, knowing that he was a Rebbe in Adelphia, and he snitched on him. He said, "There's these two boys, they're sitting in front of me in a bus, and it sounds like to me that, you know, they're hiding a small television in the dorm." I guess he thought that Rabbi Trenk would appreciate it and now, like, be able to have, you know, ammunition against the boys and, like, really, you know, get to them. So Rabbi Trenk said to this guy that called him to snitch, "Do you know what Masechta they're learning? Did you speak with them in learning?" No, the caller admitted that he had not. So the open details, what they're learning, what makes them great, you somehow missed. But their secrets you caught. Everyone has secrets and everyone has challenges and everyone is fighting the Yetzara. But we like to see their victories and successes and define them that way, not the other way. You didn't see those boys at all. Another beautiful example of how Rabbi Trenk was this malach that was able to be Ayla V'yardimbay. He went down to the whatever Madrega the boys were on and helped, and that way he helped lift them up, and he did. There are many, many, many students of Rabbi Trenk that you wouldn't know they were students of Rabbi Trenk from Adelphia. You'd probably think they were students from him in Camp Monk because, you know, they seem like they're amazing, productive, wonderful people. But it was because of Rabbi Trenk's intervention in Hatzalah that they were able to be lifted up. His philosophy, his doctrine of loving every person, and specifically his students, that's what enabled them to grow. That's what enabled them to be Roshe Magia Shamaima, to be able to attain a heavenly trajectory in life. I'll tell you one more story. There was a Rosh Hashiva in Eretz Yisrael, very similar story, I guess. There was a Rosh Hashiva in Eretz Yisrael, and he was an old, very saintly Rosh Hashiva, and he was told about a bachur in his yeshiva that was every night after second seder, after supper, he would sneak out and he would go to a movie. And Eretz Yisrael, you know, for an Israeli yeshiva bachur to go to the movies is definitely, you know, punishable by expulsion. You could do a lot less things than that and get kicked out of yeshiva. But if finding out that a bachur is really, you know, on his way to a movie, would be enough to kick him out. So somebody snitched to the Rosh Yeshiva that this bachur is every night going to movies. He says, next time you see him about on his way to the theater, do me a favor and, you know, call me out of my apartment. And the Rosh Yeshiva lived like right next to the dormitory, and I'll take care of it. So the boy was very excited. He thought that, you know, the Rosh Yeshiva was really going to pounce on the boy and kick him out. Anyway, this boy was put on a sweater and some perfume and made his hair nice and shaved, and he was on his way to town to go to the movies. And the other boy, the snitcher, told the Rosh Yeshiva that he's about to come out of the building. So Rosh Yeshiva goes outside and he, quote-unquote, bumps into this bachur. And he says to, and the bachur says, Shalom Aleichem. Rosh Yeshiva, how's Rosh Yeshiva doing? He says, good, Baruch Hashem, how are you? Good. So the Rosh Yeshiva says, it's very cold out here tonight. You just have a sweater, but you don't have a coat. He says, no, it's fine, I'm okay. He says, no, I insist, take my coat. I want you to take my coat. He says, no, Rosh Yeshiva, it's fine, I don't need it. He says, and he insists, the Rosh Yeshiva insisted. He took off his coat and he put it on the bachur. And then he says, Gute Nacht, good night, and he went back to his home, to his apartment, the Rosh Yeshiva. So what do you think the end of the story is? You think the end of the story is, okay, the boy didn't go to the movies. The boy did end up going to the movies. He went to the movies wearing the Rosh Yeshiva's coat. But he said that he was sitting in the theater and he wasn't looking at the movie at all. He was just like engulfed, enveloped in the warmth, in the spiritual warmth of the Rosh Yeshiva's coat. And that was a turnaround moment in his life. From that moment on, he came back to yeshiva after and he gave the Rosh Yeshiva back his coat. He never went to the movies anymore. He never missed night seder again. He became a tremendous Talmud Chacham. He became a big, big Marbitz Torah. All because of the sensitivity of the Rosh Yeshiva. It wasn't like an act of, all the Rosh Yeshiva did was give him his coat. But that act of love, the not screaming, the not criticizing, even though he had plenty of reason to do so, but the love, the unconditional love that was shown to him, was able to bring this bachur back to be Magia Shamaima. He was Mutzav Arza. He was in the ground, he was doing not so well, and he was struggling, but he had a malach behind him. He had this Rosh Yeshiva that was able to see where he was and go down, be yared, and then bring him up to be Ayla again. Mutzav Arza, v'roshe magia hashamayma. These are the Rabbeim that are the Rabbeim that are every Bachur's dream Rebbe. A Rebbe that's not only there for the Bachurim or for me when I need him, but also, meaning when I'm doing well, and hopefully most Bachurim are doing well in yeshiva, but many are not. Many are struggling. And there's the open question, what do you do with the Bachur that's struggling? Many Rebbeim say, okay, listen, they're going to just have to leave the yeshiva. It's not for them. But then there are other Rebbeim that are like this Malach. They roll up their sleeves and they're Yardimba, they go to the bottom, to the abyss, to the movie theaters, and you know, to try to bring them back out. And from there, they're able to really resuscitate them, to revive them. I would be remiss if I didn't mention Reb Zachariah Wallerstein, Zichrono Livracha, also another one of these gem rabbeim. Rabbi Wallerstein saw a need to help those struggling young men and women in Klal Yisrael. And on both sides, he was very, very successful. And he put his life, he was a successful businessman, had a very, you know, big, like, plastic bag business. And he, you know, he would have been able to do that his whole life easily. He was also like a Rebbe in Yeshiva. And yet he spent the better part of his days and nights helping kids that were at risk, helping kids that were on drugs, and the worst, the lowest, we're speaking, you know, the lowest, much lower than a movie theater. Like really in a, you know, in a drug house, and in with gangsters, and bring them out, and helping them, you know, find themselves again, and cleaning them up, and trying to bring them back to Klal Yisrael. And he did it very successfully. If you saw a picture after it was Niftar, they had like a picture of his talis bag, and in his talis bag, it's an interesting picture. There was like, I don't know, maybe 50 different body piercings that were put into his talis bag, because whenever he was able to convince a girl, a formerly from girl, to give him her tongue piercing, her ear piercing, her nose, you know, wherever it is, and she would give it up, and that would be like the beginning of her changing, and he would put it in his talis bag, and he wanted that should go up with him to Shamayim. He wanted that would be his chus in Shamayim, to have all of those piercings, which symbolize the people that were so down and so low and so on the ground, mutzav arza, that they were mushloch laretz, they were cast to the ground, they were abandoned by their families, or they left their families, they left their schools, they left their Yiddishkeit. And they were so low, and Rabbi Wallerstein came and swooped down like a malach and was able to be yared and pick them up until once again they were able to come back to Klal Yisrael, to Magia Shamaima. And there are many stories about him as well, of course, but this is the type of rabbeim I think that Klal Yisrael needs in this day and age, the Rebbe that gets it, the Rebbe that's not only looking for the superstar Talmidim, and every Rebbe wants and loves those, you know, the Aleph Talmidim, the great Talmidim that always are in davening and in shir and asking the great questions, but the really great Rebbeim are those that are interested in those Talmidim, but also never give up on the Talmidim that are faltering and that are sinking and that are drowning. And they will jump in and save them and resuscitate them and rebuild them until they're functional, thriving members of Klal Yisrael. And those are the Rebbeim that we salute. Those are the Rebbeim that really are Klal Yisrael's treasures and gems. And if we know of such Rebbeim, we should really have great appreciation for them, because that is, those are the Rebbeim that are Daim El Malach Hashem Tzavakes. Which Malach? The Malach that are Olim V'Yardimba, the Malach that enable somebody that's Mutzav Arza to immediately be able to turn around and have Roshai Magi HaShemayimah. Okay, Rabbi Say, have a wonderful evening.